Hey, everybody. It's Rand Wozniak with the IASIS podcast. I'm here with Bill Haycock from Ingram, Texas. Bill's an instructor this year at the IASIS event, a mobile device instructor. Bill, thank you for being on this episode.
Hey.
You and I go way back a few years now.
Yeah.
I know about you. Go ahead and tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, so let's see. Started out at 19. I started out in police work as a dispatcher. I felt called into law enforcement. I mean, it wasn't just an urge. I mean, it was a real calling. So started out as a dispatcher at 19. And my entire adult life was spent as a policeman. So I spent a couple of years in dispatch, went to the academy, started out on the street, promoted to, you know, stayed municipal the entire time, and promoted up to detective, and, you know, started doing, and it was about 2005, 2006, when I started seeing mobile devices. They hold important information. I mean, I was seeing this as a detective, and I mean, if I could just get my hands on this information, this would be a treasure trove of evidence in court. If I could just get this somehow into the hands of a jury and make it look, you know, legit. And so, man, I started open sourcing mobile stuff. I would even go down to like the AT&T store and bum their Cellebrite machine.
Absolutely.
That they were using for transfers. And I would transfer stuff for using their Cellebrite machine. So, you know, finally, in about 2011, I finally got certified with Cellebrite. I had DA put me through the course, and we bought a Cellebrite machine, and I went crazy, man. I jumped feet first into it. That was my jam. Started doing work all over the state as a detective, did work for the Rangers, did work for, you know, agencies all around that were looking for mobile stuff. They'd bring their mobiles to me and I'd dish it out. And, you know, in 2013, my 20 years was up and I decided that, you know, it was time for me to move on and transition out of law enforcement into private sector. And wow, that was scary, but, It was definitely a benefit for sure. It was the best thing that I ever did. But, you know, 20 years of law enforcement, honorably retired. You know, I still keep my retired commission. I go qualify once a year.
And
so, you know, I do all that stuff. But, and I, you know, I still see the guys. I still do law enforcement work. They still bring me stuff. And the Rangers gave me the nickname, the phone wizard. So... That's kind of my moniker now, in my lab is the phone wizard.
Yeah, I see you have your little, I guess your placard or your moniker, whatever you want to say. That's a pretty good one. I'll be sure if you share it with me, we'll show our viewing audience it at the end of the episode. You talked about 2005. You started with the mobile device. My first cell phone or mobile device class was in probably 2006, maybe 2007. And that's when it wasn't the touch. It looked like the thing that parking attendants write a ticket, write you a ticket for when the meter goes. And that's what it, and we were plugging in, everything was flip phones. Well, you know, back in those days, you could process a flip phone. I mean, you got, you know, the basic, you know, AT&T store, the Verizon store. I think that was maybe the Verizon was something else back then, but It was a quick transfer of data, and when people would bring you cell phones to do, you could send it back out the door a half hour later. However, and obviously in today's world, people in our line of work, or maybe that are not well versed, still think that time frame of turnaround is about the same, when actually, you know, it is quite the opposite. The phones of today are larger in size than, or at least in memory, I guess you could say, storage space, than the computers I worked on even, you know, 6-7 years ago. So
yeah, have you gotten your first terabyte phone?
Not true. I have, it was not filled with 1 terabyte of space. Yeah. So I was only dealing with 110 gigabytes of space. So that was a little shocking at first. I may have reported on my my Secret Service, sheet that it was in fact 1 terabyte of space, but technically, I mean, I did, you know, it was 1 terabyte. So,
yeah, full file system was probably 200 something gigabytes, but it had a terabyte. I had my first terabyte phone a few months ago, and wow, when I plugged it in, I was like, holy moly, I didn't bring enough disk drives for this. You know, I bring a portable, and most of my stuff's on site.
Okay.
So
yeah.
a lot of my stuff in private sector is on site. So I'm bringing equipment to wherever, and you know, I have to bring everything with me. And I only brought like a 1 terabyte SSD that's my transfer media that I use. And I was like, oh my God, I don't have enough room for this. But you know, thank God they didn't fill it up. It was only 256 gigabytes, but. Yeah, that was scary seeing that terabyte. Man, they have, you know, I remember when it was like megabytes. Like you had 512 sure. megabytes oh, yeah. on a phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now it's gigs.
That's so you're like the Lincoln lawyer of mobile device forensic response. Then just working out of your pickup truck sure. or whatever, just bring it all with you.
Yeah, so you know, and we're gonna talk about it later, but you know, my business model was, you know, I come to you, and wow, they were thrilled about that. They thought I was going out of my way when really they were doing me a favor because I didn't have an office.
I had something
in my house.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were doing me a favor, but that Lincoln lawyer approach that definitely, and you know, that's kind of the standard of mobile device extraction now in the private sector. We're going to wherever it is to do it. So you've got to have a go kit ready to go and you got to make sure you got everything with you.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, being from law enforcement, you should have that anyway. At least that mentality of, you know, you start your shift when you're on the road. Remember the old school, your first day or even beforehand, you went to galls.com or you had the catalog and you ordered that black bag that had the spot for your radio, your big mag light, and then your metal file container that you wrote your incident reports on, and the smaller one for your citations. Oh yeah, load up the first day. Yeah,
you know, I think I still have that up in the attic. I kept all that stuff. I, you know, put it in a box and threw it in the attic. And I think I still have that bag you're talking about, that Galls bag with this kind of rectangle zipper top.
100%. I still have mine, and it's in the back of my car, and it still holds my tin paper holder. That's where I keep my files. Mm-hmm. I don't use it, but you never know when you'll need it. So hey. it's always good to have that mobility in your police lifestyle, I guess.
You know, I had a bunch of weird stuff in my trunk. I had sleeping bags and pillows, and I had a ranger tell me one time that I had a horrible Christmas Eve one year, and got called out for a murder. Ended up traveling like 4 counties to go catch the guy, and stayed the night in this roach motel. I mean, it was horrible. And I had a ranger tell me later, he's like, well, Billy, that's why I carry a sleeping bag and a pillow in my trunk. And so, hey, I carried a sleeping bag and a pillow in my trunk ever since then. Because, man, sleeping in that roach motel on top of the covers in all my clothes with a gun under my pillow because I didn't know who was busting
sure.
in. So, yeah, I carried a bunch of stuff in my trunk.
I'm a part of the hurricane state. I know Texas gets their hurricanes. So we're naturally part of hurricane response. We go to the coast, you know, make sure everything's nice and well, before, during, and after the storm. So you learn it once, and now I have full camping gear due to that. I have inflatable pillows, a sleeping pad, a sleeping bag. I don't have the sleeping bag, but then I have camping stove equipment, a foldable table. I bought at Aldi. It's a little mini foldable table, so I have my own. Yeah, if I had to make my meals and stuff like that. So yeah, it's alone is decked me out. I could probably survive in the wild in my car for 3 days, and then if I have to hunt, luckily I have the weapons in there. I could, you know, shoot a woodchuck or something if I had to, and
and cook it up. Well, yeah. You know, and now my go kit is for travel. So, you know, I don't have everything in the trunk of my car anymore. Now I've got a go kit, but all my go kit is to throw on an airplane and take off.
Yeah.
And go. So now my travel kits have transitioned from all that stuff as a detective. That, you know, that mentality has benefited me dramatically.
Sure.
But you know, beyond that, it's now I have my go kit and it's different. It's it's shaving kits and making sure that I have soap and deodorant and socks and underwear.
Yeah, I have a special travel kit myself that I just go, I bought all the miniatures from Target, you know, so now, because it takes up less space and it's everything you need, as long as I have two extra pairs of contact lenses. Everything else is miniaturized, and that's part of it. And luckily, 24 years for myself in law enforcement, I got a liking to backpacks. So I have a backpack for almost every occasion. I mean, anything from a wedding to a funeral to a graduation to whatever. I have my formal backpacks, my informal backpacks, my party backpacks. I don't have a bar mitzvah backpack yet, but you know, give it time. I'll get one. Amazon.com, people. Yep, absolutely.
A bar mitzvah backpack. Yeah, that's good.
You need it.
I'm gonna add that.
Yeah, I don't know what you need it for, but I'm telling you, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. That's my motto.
Agreed. That's great thinking, and that thinking travels with you forever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, thank you, law enforcement. You guys prepared me for my next life, which. All that training in law enforcement, all that mentality that you're in survival, all that mentality does transition over into the private sector. You have to learn how to transition that. Unfortunately, as cops, they don't teach us how to work in the private sector, how to run a business or do budget or anything like that. So, I had to figure that stuff out myself. And try to make it work. And now that I've done that and done it successfully, I really enjoy passing that knowledge on to guys that are transitioning out, that are looking to get out and are scared like I was. And, if I would have had someone like me to help with that transition, it would have been a little easier. I wouldn't have made the mistakes I made, and I wouldn't have been as scared. But now, man, I do a lot of talks about transitioning out and how to do it successfully and how to not make the mistakes that I made and make it enjoyable.
That's good. And I'm glad you brought that up. So I was going to ask you, because obviously I knew you're on the speaking circuit with it. I know you do give presentations at conferences and whatnot. Can you just give us maybe a sneak peek, or little teasers, or like the Cliff Notes version of some of the things? Because, obviously a lot of people are going to be watching this because everybody is. If you get into digital forensics, chances are you're doing it because you're going to want to do something after law enforcement. Chances are. And I know I'm in the twilight of my law enforcement career, and it's a topic near and dear to my heart, obviously, because I've reached out to you about advice and stuff like that. So if you just give us just the Cliff Notes, I don't want to give away all your stuff for free, but if you could just throw some teasers for us.
Well, one thing that, and you said it best, Waj, that do not throw away what the government or the law enforcement entity that you're with, don't throw away that experience. That experience is valuable.
Cool.
And it's not only valuable to you because you spent blood, sweat, and tears developing that, but it's valuable to other people. You just have to find those people that it's valuable to. So, if you're a plumber, you don't go out marketing to TV repairmen, you go marketing to plumbers.
Right.
So, the same thing, you take that, you take all those skills that you've learned, and it's not just the digital forensic skills, it's report writing, it's testimony, it is organization, it is mindset to accomplish a goal and see that goal through. Those are all characteristics that will follow through with you when you do transition over to private sector. And so don't throw those away. Keep those with you, maintain them. And as you're starting, like you're in the last year of your career. So, definitely have an exit strategy. Make sure that you have an idea of where this path is going. And, the road doesn't end. It just kind of takes an exit and get on the next road. So know where and how you're going to travel that next road. Know what the vehicle is that you're going to use. So, and what I mean by that is have that exit strategy going. Know as you're not, don't do this right as you're leaving. Have a strategy you leave. And so know what you want to do. Know where your talents are. What are you good at? Are you good at photography? Were you a crime scene guy and you were taking photos? And can you transition that over to a private sector? Absolutely, you can. You can take those photography skills and all that experience you have and start doing photography as an independent photographer. So what do you like to do and what are you good at? Find those skills and then have, that's the vehicle that's going to take you down the road that you're going to be traveling in your next career, your next life. So have that strategy going. Have it all planned out to, and that's what I did. Have it all planned out. Probably the, you know, I knew the last year of my career that I wanted to do digital forensics, cell phones. And just to clarify, I don't do anything else but cell phones. That's all I do. So, and I was really good at it. So know that at the end of that first year, that last year that you're there, I knew I wanted to do mobile forensics. And so I started thinking about how that looked. How would I do that? And probably the last, you know, probably the last 2 months is when I actually pulled the trigger, started forming my businesses, doing the formations through Texas, the state, the Secretary of State, and filing all that paperwork. Yep. So when you know, May 15th or whenever it was that I retired, when that date hit, I was ready to go, had everything set up, and I could just easily transition over and start working privately. I didn't have to struggle through all that. I made all the struggles and mistakes and questions. I did all that before it was actually time to go. You know, that's a law enforcement deal, man. We train, you train, you train. So when it's time to execute, you execute flawlessly. So, you know, the same thing when you're doing this business, you want to make sure that you're ready to go. So when the time comes, you pull the trigger and you're off and running. And it is extremely scary to go from a paycheck every other week.
Yeah.
You know, whether you did a crappy job that week or you did a fantastic job that week, you still got paid.
The same.
Yeah. Yep. You still got a paycheck. Yep. And now you're going to, you eat what you kill.
Yeah.
So now your hunting strategies have got to be really good. Otherwise, you're not eating that day. So that's really scary. And rightfully so. That fear was a healthy fear for me because, man, when I went into private sector, you couldn't stop me. And I was full force into it. Even all the negative stuff that came back to me, I would just blow through it and keep going. I had to make this work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was determined to make it work and nothing was going to stop me. So, yeah, that determination, that need to go out and eat what you kill, right? That need definitely made it to where, you know, I was unstoppable. I was going to make this work no matter what it took. I was going to make it work. And I'll tell you, probably the first 2 years, man, I was 7 days a week, all the time, just marketing. And you know, speaking of marketing, that they don't teach you that in police work. No, they don't teach you that at all. And, in fact, you know, it's you don't talk about yourself at all in police work. You kind of it's all about the team and
absolutely
and team,
yep,
team effort and stuff. Well, I'll tell you this, in the private sector, it is kind of the team, but if you're a solo practitioner like me, it's all about me.
Yep.
So I have to go out and sell myself and brand myself and market myself. And so that's kind of hard. That was kind of a hard pill to swallow too, to go out and start talking about myself and bragging about myself, saying how good I was and how good I was compared to somebody else and how you should pick me over somebody else. So that's a hard pill to swallow too. But, you know, you get used to it and you learn how to do it with pizzazz and not sounding like a jerk, you know, and that's something that has, you have to learn too in the marketing part. So, you know, having an exit strategy is important. Having a realistic exit strategy is also important too. Don't go out and want to be the NFL, to meet the NFL draft, yeah, right? Have it realistic. You know, make sure you know whether you want to work for yourself or you want to work for a corporation. So, and that's the next decision you're going to have to make is, do I want to work for myself or do I want to work for a corporation? Mm-hmm. If you go to work for yourself, the entire 100% of the weight is on you.
Yep.
So, and I don't mind that because, man, it's on me to do a good job. And if anyone screws it up, man, it's on me. So, and so I have complete faith in myself to get it done. I know it's going to get it done the way I want it done. That's my mindset. And so I'm more of an entrepreneur, a solo practitioner. If I screw up, man, you know, that's it. You know, it's all on me and there's no backup to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But now if you go to work for a corporation, there's still a little parachute there.
Sure. Right. Right? Yes.
So you're not jumping off the cliff without a parachute. You're jumping off a cliff with a parachute and you're still jumping off the cliff, but and there's going to be success in that.
Yeah.
But there's still a guaranteed paycheck kind of. There's a little play in that because if it's based on sales and how you're performing and how much money you're bringing in, then there's still a little bit of that eat what you kill mentality, but it's not 100%. Yeah. So you're still getting a little paycheck.
You didn't burn all the boats. You still have one hidden under the dock somewhere. Yeah. You do have not all the boats are burned. In this, I took down some notes just to summarize on that. You talked about you eat what you can kill. So I take it, and we're going to go first full circle to what I said. I guess some weeks are you're eating woodchuck and some weeks you're eating venison and elk, I guess, right? Because it's not a steady paycheck. Yeah. You can't. It's not that you're making your same salary every single paycheck. Maybe some have overtime, some don't. Your paycheck's going to be different every other time, possibly, when you're private. When you're by yourself.
You have a good point there. And, you know, starting out, you may be eating beans and rice for a while, and then you might get a steak dinner once in a while.
Yeah.
But if you are really good at what you do, that is going to start building up to where I don't even worry about it anymore.
That's real good.
I mean, I'm to the point now where, you know, I'm not worried about am I going to get a check next week anymore. I'm beyond that point. So
that's nice.
It is definitely achievable. And I think that if you run your business right, if you run it smart, and you know, I think that product and customer service is huge. And product being, that's you, what you produce. As a phone expert, my product is producing phone extractions and analysis and call detail record analysis and doing it well and doing it professionally and doing it at an expert level. So I'm pushing out an expert level product. And so that's worth something to somebody. So your product needs to be right on track, but also your customer service too. I have found in this industry that if you simply call people back the same day or you email back
that
the
goes
same
a long
day,
way. Yeah, sure.
That, oh my gosh, that goes so far.
It's the little things.
And they will recommend you to other other clients saying, wow, we like this guy. He calls us back. And to me, I'm thinking, wow, that was kind of easy.
Easy.
I called you back.
Yeah.
I'm just being nice. So, you know, that customer service element and then having a premium product, which is you, having that to go with, I think the sky's the limit. However much work you want is how much work you're going to get.
Yeah, that's a good point, and that's a great aspect. The other thing you mentioned was the marketing. How if you're in law enforcement and there's no marketing, do your job, write the report, we'll go on to the next one. And Paige Macbeth, he works for Celebrite now. He retired from an agency in Oregon. He had a webinar yesterday. He had this ICAT case that lasted 12 years. And he finally, he got his man after a 12-year hunt, after all these loopholes and now we call it escapes, but the guy was able to evade actual, without actually being on the run as a fugitive, but he was finally caught. And, you know, Paige said he went back to his office, and everybody's like, there's nothing, no fanfare, no attaboys, no good job. It was just like, all right, you know, move on to your next case. And that's true. So that's, you know, most cops, you have to remain humble, and that's another transition. Now, if you're on live PD or something like that, and you have a sheriff or a police chief that will allow you to do stuff like that. But that's one in two. But that's a one in a million chance that that's going to happen. So I like that point. That's a change. There is no transition. I know the military does it now. There is no transition. There is no, like, you go attend classes every Thursday for an hour and they teach you, all right, things not to say in the office. You know, as a police officer, it's not a corporate lifestyle. So there should be some sort of transition program. I do not know how to start that. Maybe I'll look into it in the future to maybe help people with that. Just a transition out of law enforcement, so you don't end up like Brooks in the Shawshank Redemption. You know, when I think that was his name, Brooks was here. So at least you don't have culture shock. The other thing you spoke about was, starting out, licenses for the softwares we use are very expensive. Do you start out using, there are free tools available. Do you start out with the free tools until you build up the war chest enough where you can afford the licenses for the big dogs that, like to use?
That's a great question. So when I started, I started with $25,000. And that $25,000 was half. That was like the one of the bulk payouts of my retirement.
Yeah.
Right. So my retirement was very small because I only spent 20 years there. I got out really early, so my retirement wasn't that huge cash fold. So I took half a payout. I took that payout and I went and bought a laptop, a Cellebrite, a laptop, and some disk drives. And that's how I started my business. I started my business with one tool. And as income came in, I put that money back into the business.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And started buying better tools. So absolutely, you've got to have a premium tool, I think, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, especially today.
If you're going to be anywhere relatable, right, you're going to have a decent tool. And so, My business model is premium tools, low overhead. So all of my, I spend like $100,000 a year just in licenses now because, I'm buying premium products. Mm-hmm. And I have the top tools because that's my business. I need to have those in order to be the best. In order to be relative, I have to have these tools. So yes, I would advise by starting out just buy one tool and buy the tool that you need that's going to get the job done at the level that you need it done at. Don't cheap out and buy the cheap tool and expect it to do the premium work.
Right.
So, and definitely I started out with Cellebrite right out and using free tools, whatever I could find to help supplement that for validation or whatever.
Exactly.
But as soon as I could, I started building up more tools, and keeping my overhead low. So I started out with an office in my garage where luckily I did all my exams on site. So I didn't need an office.
Sure.
I just needed a place to put the tools.
Yep.
And so it worked out really good. And definitely you want to keep your overhead down. I see a lot of people start out business and they play business. So they buy desks and cars and computers and, all these things that they don't really need.
Yeah.
Right? So what do you need to get started in whatever you're doing? So if you're doing mobile forensics, what do you need? You need a premium tool. You need a laptop. You need some storage drives. And, that's it. Get going. And buy it as you need it.
Yeah.
So do I have cars and desks and tools? Yeah, absolutely. I got all that stuff now because I need it. But at the time, I didn't. So don't play business. And now I read that from, I think his name's Jim Cook.
Sam Adams.
Yeah, Sam Adams.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy, man. So it was a book about beer, which I loved. But I took his marketing strategies and applied it to my business. Man, that was a good read for sure. But one of his deals was don't play business.
Yeah, that's good. That reminds me of that Seinfeld episode where Frank Costanza was selling computers out of his garage with George, and then that crazy guy Lloyd who's making fake sales and he was cooking the books. Yeah, That was a great episode. I think Steve Jobs started in his garage. I think I'm seeing stuff way back when. Good point. And then the last one, too. Allies and enemies in the private sector. I don't really mean so much enemies. Yeah. Job sharing. A job's too big for you. Or you the workload, you got to bring somebody else in. Or geographically, you get an offer, but it's way, you can't make it. Do you have guys, or do you guys have like a call and be like, hey, I got a gig for you. I can't take it. Or, hey, do you want a piece of this with me and stuff like that because of the size of it? Is that something that happens?
Yeah, it does happen. And that is part of the network. And you know, you and I, we're in a network of examiners, both law enforcement and private. And that network is so important to keep. And you'll keep that as you transition out from law enforcement into your private sector. You keep those same networks and connections. And, you know, quite often I get called by companies out of California or the West Coast that can't make it out to the East Coast. And they'll call me and they'll say, hey, can you do a collection for us? Absolutely. And there aren't any favors, though. You know, we still charge just like everybody else. But absolutely, that camaraderie is still there. That law enforcement camaraderie that you feel as a team within your department, within your section, that camaraderie is still there. It is just spread wider, and I think you're making more money.
That's a nice little feature of it. Good. Bill, before we move on to, we got to talk a little bit about IACES, considering this is the IACES podcast. Do you have any closing remarks on law enforcement, the private? Any last words of wisdom or just a tidbit or two? I don't know.
You know, I think that, I think for one, have faith in yourself, have faith in your abilities, and then, you're going to have to jump off the cliff at some point. Yeah. I see a lot of guys that just stand at the edge of the cliff and look over and never commit. And I can say personally that when I jumped off the cliff into private sector, it was the worst, best thing in my life. It was the worst thing at the time because I was so scared. But looking back on it now, I'm like, wow, I can't believe that I haven't been doing this earlier. Yeah. So definitely have faith in yourself. Definitely have faith in your abilities. You can make this happen. And definitely, it is definitely worth it. Don't be scared. Just jump off the cliff. Jump off the cliff.
That reminds me of my first dog that was mine when I was an adult. I got a 12-week-year-old black lab puppy. And I was like, what did I get myself into? This was, my house was, it was a nightmare. Turner and Hooch and the other movie that was out there, I was like, that is nothing on this dog. But yeah, 3 weeks in, 4 weeks in, great dog. So I understand that the best worst decision or the worst best decision you could ever make. Good final words on that topic. Bill, IACES 2024, Orlando, Florida. This is your first year being an instructor, correct?
Yes.
And you're doing the advanced mobile class, correct?
I'm slated to be in there with Briggs. You know how it's real dynamic, so you never really know.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody could come in with COVID, man, you could be somewhere else really quick. So I'm slated to be in there with Briggs. If that happens or not, we'll see, because it's always pretty fluid.
Do you have any content on that class or anything? Do you have any ideas of the topics covered in the advanced mobile?
So I think, for one, this is more like you definitely have to have the basic mobile class first as a prerequisite. Yeah. This is more on scripting Python and things like that. You know, Briggs is a master at Python scripting. So this is definitely a class for... not tool specific, but writing your own script and advanced scripting to further your analysis, which I think if you're not using Python, you're definitely missing out on a ton of stuff. So I think this is a must for people who have already been through the basic mobile class and are looking for that extra edge. I think this advanced class is going to be good.
So that's pretty much like the last day of mobile the basic mobile device forensics, and just expand a whole week on that. Good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm always happy that a former student of mine is doing so well. I know Bill was in, I taught mobile a couple years ago. Bill was in my class, and it's when the students are smarter than the instructors, that's always a difficult and challenging. But you were very complimentary, and you didn't hurt me too bad, so I do appreciate that.
And Briggs was in that class with us too.
Okay, I couldn't remember if you were first week or second week. I always, because you know, it's the 2 1-week classes. So that's, yeah. And then I had Heather, the other instructor. She was the year before. I was like, oh my goodness. So,
yeah.
Yikes! It's like the saints trying to tell God something. I guess I don't know, but I'm here today. Talk about jumping off a cliff. That was something. Good. And then also. I know this. You are on the. You got appointed to the board of directors for the Techno Security Conference, correct?
Yeah, I did.
East Coast, a boy from Texas, going to Wilmington, North Carolina, and congratulations on that. Techno Security, and IASIS have a partnership. You know, they have a booth at our conference. We have a booth at their conference, and everything. Jennifer Salvadori and crew and stuff like that always put on a good show. I'll be attending this year. First time for me in Wilmington. It's been in my home state of Myrtle Beach. So I'm looking forward to that. So, good. Bill, Ingram, Texas, that's near San Antonio. What's the food of choice there? Is that going to be Tex-Mex or is that going to be your barbecue still? Your beef barbecue and stuff?
Yeah. So that's a great question. I think it's a mix of barbecue and Tex-Mex for sure. I don't think you can go one without the other. I think it's a combination of both. But, you know, I've been around the world eating barbecue.
Yeah.
So the Texas barbecue, it's the meat, it's the seasoning of the meat. It's not so much the sauces. The sauces are okay, but it's how we season the meat and how we cook that meat. So that's if you've ever wondered what the difference was between Texas and whatever else barbecue, it is the meat, the way we season it and the way we cook it in Texas is different. And you know, the St. Louis and the Kansas City, that's more about the sauce,
meat. Yeah.
But yeah, Texas definitely we're focusing on how we cook the meat.
I do enjoy Texas barbecue and I enjoy Tex-Mex. The two great things, two great cuisines, I guess you could say, from that vast and very large state. If it wasn't for Alaska, I think you guys would be the largest. So,
and we have Scheinerbach beer.
The Scheinerbach is a fantastic beer. Absolutely. First time I had that.
Made in Scheiner, Texas.
Yeah. My brother used to live in Houston, Texas, way back when. At his wedding, he had Scheinerbach beer, and that's when I was introduced to it. And I was just coming of age as a young man, or I guess you could say a young adult. So that was a good tasty beer. Good memories. Yeah, love the state of Texas. So, all right, Bill, do you have anything else for us before we go ahead and sign off? I think you checked everything off of my box. Absolutely. Yes, you did. Anything else for the crowd?
I think I will be at IASIS for the 2 weeks. So if you see me walking around and you've got a question about, you know, private sector or how to pull this off, you know. Absolutely. I'm not a secret keeper. I openly share everything that I've learned because I think that's the person I am. And I think that's who we should be. So absolutely. If you find me at IASIS walking around or if you're at Techno Security in Wilmington, I'll probably be out at Techno West too. So
nice.
If you see me out at Techno or you see me in the IASIS, just stop and ask me a question. I'd be glad to help you out, answer questions, give you my email. Give my phone number. We can chat about it. Anything I can do to help somebody out, I'm always available.
That's great. Bill, that's fantastic. Because I know you're very approachable. Our listeners, our watchers are going to be able to see this and just, a ray of sunshine, a ray of Texas sunshine. All right, everybody. Bill Aycock, Ingram, Texas, the wizard. Look for IASIS. Look for him at Techno Security. Bill, thank you for being on. This is a pleasure. This is an episode I've been wanting to do now since probably April of last year. So I'm finally glad we got you. I know you got a busy schedule. We're able to get you on, and it was fortuitous that we got you on in time because with the events coming up. Bill, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. We'll see you later.
Absolutely. All right, buddy. Take care.
See ya.